this morning, we're going to get going on a new series, and we have decided to do a series called Country Gold, The Message. And what we're going to do, we're going to sing a country song, and then we're going to preach about it. And it's going to be throughout this month. And so it's going to be interesting because I didn't ever read. Well, I wanted been thinking about doing this for 2 years, but I always chickened out. But so what we do, we take country songs and we think that there's a message in there. And most of them, it's not a good message. Like this song that I decided we should start out on is a song that it's really jacked. And all of the thinking that goes into this song is like, you don't want to have no part of that. So I'm going to sing about it. But for all of you holy people, this is not anything Christian at all in this song. So just beware of that and don't judge me. So this the title of this song is Let's Fall to Pieces Together.
Pardon me. I found your tear on the jukebox. I believe that God mixed up with mine. I don't mean to pry. It's just that I noticed you going out of your mind. Looks like we're two of a kind. Let's fall to pieces together. Why should we both fall apart? Let's fall to pieces together. In each other's arms.
I'm Thomas.
Alone is much better together. When the worst is still yet to come. So let's take the rest of the tears that are left from two hearts that just came undone. Why should we go crazy alone? Let's fall to pieces together. Why should we both fall apart? Let's fall to pieces together, right here in each other's arms. Well, let's fall together, right here in each other's arms.
Oh, woo! Goodness, these guys, give these guys a hand here, yeah. Marcy, bless y'all. But you have no idea the relief that I feel. This is like the third time I've done that, and I just feel so relieved. We'll do it one more time tomorrow night. Maybe we'll have it down by then. The thing about that song is that we all know that misery loves Misery loves company, and when we fall to pieces together, we want to have somebody with us. Like if we're going to look for somebody, many times we don't look for people that will bring us correction in our life if correction is needed. We will look for people who will agree with us in the middle of our problem. That way there's no solution that's found. It's just that we stay in a place of pain and hurt and depression. And Lord knows I don't want anybody to tell me that I'm on the wrong path. Please remember that it's never too late to make a right turn off of the wrong road. So if you'll turn to your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 1. I love the book of Psalms. There's David, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, that David followed him. It wasn't that David was a perfect man, but he had a heart for God. And we know from experience that God looks on the heart. We look, as people, we look on the outward appearance, and that way, so many times if we are having problems, we look for people who will agree with us rather than people who will give us good counsel. So we find this in the book of Psalm chapter 1. It starts out, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Blessed, is there anybody here in this room that you don't want to be blessed? I mean, the reason we come to church is we want to honor God. We want to give him his rightful place in our lives. And we know that his blessings come when we are faithful to him and we have a heart for him. So it says, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's a great word there for all of us, because a lot of times we want to run to the phone instead of running to the throne. We want to talk to people about our problems instead of talking to God about. We want to confess our stuff to people instead of confessing our stuff to God, because that's the reason Jesus went to the cross, by the way, is so we don't have to go through a high priest to confess our sin. We can go directly to God himself and say, God, I need you. I need your help. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of people who tell them what they want to hear, but God, when God tells us what we need to hear, what's good for us, we all need that if we want to be blessed in his kingdom. Amen. So it says this, it says, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. He gets in the word of God during the day. He gets in the word of God at night. And he meditates on it through the day. The things that God has shared with that person, with us, we meditate on that day and night. And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand. The ungodly shall fall to pieces. Together. In each other's arms. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the seat of the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly. Pay attention. The way of the ungodly will perish. Somehow we bought into the deception that the grass is always greener somewhere else. In fact, that's the title of my message this morning. The grass is always greener somewhere else. And that we will listen to, that we look for people that will listen to our problems, and we think that if someone's willing to listen to our problems, that is a godsend. That's not always the case. Our biggest challenge in life is to invite God's wisdom into our problems, not some other person's that is as miserable as we are with self-indulgent ulterior motives. Like in this song, it's like, let's fall to pieces together. Yeah, in each other's arms. Don't tell me whoever wrote that song didn't know a lot about human nature, because the ulterior motive is if I can get you to fall to pieces in my arms, then my flesh will be fed. So all the songs that we listen to and all the challenge that I have for you today is that when you listen to songs and you sing along with those songs, are you condoning that those words in your heart? Oh, no, no, no. It says from the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we have to be careful about is the declarations that we allow to come out of our mouths when we sing along with the radio. Oh, no, that doesn't affect me. Don't believe it, because there's a enemy of your soul that is so subtle that he will bring deception through whatever media or medium that he thinks you will buy into. We have television that we all watch, and almost every time we watch that television, there's all kinds of immoral acts and things that happen, and lying, cheating, stealing, all of that happens, killing, everything happens, and it comes from Hollywood. So we either have the actors in Hollywood trying to dictate and mandate a morality for our nation, because we are being fed that many minutes and many hours a day, or we allow the politicians from Washington to dictate to us through CNN, Fox News, and all that. And they're pouring all this into our minds. And really, the definition of Hollywood is just where the stars twinkle till they wrinkle. And then when they wrinkle, they're like, we're through with you. You're done. You get some work done, maybe we'll have you back. But we're going to look on the outward appearance. And if you don't measure up to what we think you should look like, you're out of here. God's not like that. God's not saying, because God looks on the heart. He says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but make your delight be in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, and meditate on those things. Don't allow the world to influence you away immorally from the word of God. Because whether it's I get too carried away. So we often see in country songs ways to cheat on your spouse, that the person they grow old with needs to be traded in for a younger model. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 5 about rejoicing with the wife of your youth. There's a reason for that advice. Also, if you recall the Old Testament, this is the issue that God often had with the children of Israel. He had brought them through everything, and yet they continued to be fooled by the green grass of those around them, to the point that they forgot what he had done for them. You remember whenever they came through the desert, and they were right on the border of the promised land, and they sent 12 spies into the promised land, but the spies came back with different reports. All 12 of them saw the same thing, but they came back with different reports. 10 of them said, oh, there's giants in the land. There's no way that we can possess this land. And then 2 of them came back and said, hey, the land is full of milk and honey, and we are more than able to take the land. Well, 10 against 2, 10 won. It's kind of like the ladies that she had, this couple, they had a couple, twin boys. One of the boys was a pessimist, and one was the optimist. Y'all heard that? And the mama, she says, I got to take them to the psychiatrist. So she took them to the psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist was talking to her, and they put the little pessimist in a room full of toys, and then they put the optimist in a room full of horse manure. They left him there for about an hour. And they came back, and they checked on the pessimist, and he was sitting in the corner crying, and she ran up to him and said, what's the matter? And he said, I was going to play with that truck over there, but I was afraid it would pinch my fingers, or I was going to go down the slide, but I was afraid I'd fall, and I just can't do this. And the psychiatrist, man, he's got a bad problem. And so go over there, and said, we better check on the other one. They went and checked on the other one, and he's just throwing horse manure everywhere, just playing in that horse manure. And Mama went over there, shook him, brushed him off, said, what in the world are you doing? He said, with all this horse manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. So the thing about it is, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for the pony? Or are you just... nothing's going to work in my life. Let's fall to pieces together. Let's just put our tears on the jukebox and let's fall. No. God wants us to rise up above these things and take counsel from godly people to meditate on his word day and night. So be blessed. I don't really know where the term "the grass is always greener on the other side" originated, but it goes to the heart of envy. It really does. Our wishing that we had something that somebody else has because it appears better than what we have. We are a society that thrives on comparisons. We thrive, we compare ourselves with other people, what other people have. We compare our marriage with other people's marriage. Well, he's such a good husband. She's such a good wife. And then we compare with everybody else. And in the middle of comparisons, what we do, we fall to pieces. And as a matter of fact, their lives can be so good that we find ourselves wishing that we were living their good life. As we read magazines, we read books about the lifestyles of the rich and shameless, and we sit around wondering what it would be like to have all the money we need to be able to have instant recognition in public, to have all the power. Bigger is often better, and a newer boat only, and newer beats out old any day of the week, plus on weekends. So if we can't have it, we look for somebody that will sympathize us and criticize those we envy. We look for somebody that will agree with us that the person that we envy are bad people. Because we can't have it. We strive and strive to get to the greener pasture only to find that once we get there, those pastures eventually look a lot like the ones we left. The grass may actually be greener on the other side until we get there. If you're wondering why that is, you came to the right place this morning. You see, the grass in my pasture or in my yard might not look as green as my neighbor, but the question that comes up in my mind is, who is responsible for my grass? You see, I'm the one that's responsible. So if my neighbor has the same type of grass that I have and his is always greener than mine, then it must be something that I'm not doing that makes my grass less green. Stay with me. So let's say the neighbor and I decided to switch houses because I really love his yard better. Once I move into their house and once I start taking care of their yard, just like I've been taking care of my old yard, you know what's going to happen, right? That yard that looked greener from my side of the fence will now start to look like my old yard, and my old yard that is now being taken care of by my neighbor will start looking better than my new yard. You see the revolving door that happens of discontent. If I take care of my new yard like I take care of my old yard, my new yard will eventually become my old yard. It happens in marriages and divorces all the time. My new wife begins to look like my old wife. Then my third wife looked like my second wife. And my fourth wife. My new husband. My new job is starting to look like my old job. My new boyfriend. My new horse. You see, they tell me all the time, and I've told people all the time, that the horse is a reflection of its rider. And the horse really only does what the rider trains it to do. So I hear people all the time, I can't believe the way that horse is acting. He's just like, and if I've said it one time, I've said it 1,000 times. The horses always do what the rider trains them to do. The horse is a reflection of the rider. Your lawn is a reflection of you. Your marriage, my marriage, is a reflection of me and Darla. You see, it's time that we as Christians stopped blaming and stopped being envious of other people and took ownership of our own stuff. Amen. It's time the church stopped blaming everybody else for the church's problems. It's time we stopped bickering within ourselves and began loving one another so we could love the people outside of the church. You see, we got to get it right here before we can get it right out there. We can't love the enemies until we can love our friends and our family. Amen. Don't let the green grass fool you. Yes, the grass might look greener on the other side, but that's until we get there and kill it. You see, the greener grass might make me think it's about the grass. And thus fooling me into thinking it's not about me or my actions and how I'm taking care of it. What I'm telling you this today is that your grass or your life is in your own hands. And what we do with it is completely within our power. To choose to walk into the promised land in relationships. To choose to walk into the promised land with the blessings that God has given you. To meditate on the word day and night so that you can understand how to love people the way God loves people in the middle of their problems. Because God loved you. He loved me in the middle of my problems. And so if we learn from God, then we can love people in the middle of their problems because he loved us in the middle of our problems. While we're staring at the green grass of our neighbors and we become more disappointed with our own until we are ready to dump what we have to gain what our neighbor has, thus the tears on the jukebox. Listen, if we can't have what our neighbor has, we look for other neighbors that have ugly grass too. And we share our misery. And it gets mixed up with theirs. And then we declare that the worst is still yet to come. Because misery loves company. Why? We continue to repeat the same things over and over and over again. And then we pray for different results. We get fooled by the grass in someone else's yard, which makes us think differently about our own yard. Oh, by the way, guys, it happens at the office building too. If you got a cute little secretary, take note. Let me just say this. This world has dictated to us what is beautiful and what is ugly. And if we're not careful, we will buy into that. And then we'll look at the grass or the pretty secretary, or maybe you are the secretary and you're looking at the boss. You see, we look at things different, or you look at somebody else's husband Or you look at somebody else's wife, or you look at somebody else's boyfriend. And boyfriend and girlfriend, that's a little bit of a different thing because you're not married yet. And you can't be having sex with that person because that will lock you in. Because many times what happens is, it's coming to me. Oh, what's the phrase we use in relationships? You caught him on the rebound. You know, in other words, he had a bad relationship and is like, oh, he's got his tears on the jukebox. Oh, I just mix a little mine up with yours and oh. Mm. I'm glad y'all. The thing about it is that it's a deception because, I don't know how to say this in a nice way, but some pretty people can get real ugly once you get to know them. It really can't. It's really about being pretty on the inside. Much, 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 much more about being pretty in your heart than it is about being pretty the way the world dictates to us how we need to be pretty. We spend a lot of time on the outside, fixing up the outside, and we need to spend more time. That's really what this message is about working more on what's going on the inside than what's going on the outside, because that's where God's looking.
Amen.
Thank you. So I'm going to cruise through my 3 points that I have not got to yet, and it's time to quit. The first one is our green grass. Says it will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields fruit in due season. The book of Psalm is about dispelling the ideology that a sinful life is a good life. And that's the reason the church never completely gets filled up. We have empty chairs here today is because many people think that life outside the immoral way to act is the good life. And we've seen and we've read about those who have put their faith in wealth and their faith in power. Our world is telling us that the more freedom and permissiveness that we experience leads us to a life of fulfillment. And anything less than that leaves us wanting for more. The result is songs like Let's Fall to Pieces Together. A life of purity and walking with God is dismissed as old-fashioned and out of touch with reality. David in Psalms 1 set the record straight. How blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The second phrase is, what does it mean to stand in the path of sinners? The word stand is A mod, and it means to serve as in worship. David, what David is saying in the phrase that we should not serve in the paths of sinners, doing the same things they are doing and actually helping them commit sins. When you are spending time with those who are doing things that are contrary to the word of God and giving support to that, you're standing in the way of sinners, and bad morals corrupt good character. Oh, it won't rub off on me. Don't kid yourself. It will rub off on you. I could go into a lot of illustrations there. In the last phrase, he said, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer. The Hebrew word for sit means to sit as if a judge, pronouncing judgment as if a king. The Hebrew word for scoffer actually means to speak a different language or to translate as if an interpreter. When we consider these words together and their meaning, it is possible that David is saying that to sit in the seat of the scoffer is one who pronounces that the sin is okay and actually translates it that way to make it acceptable. In other words, our world, our culture, many of our churches are in the business of attempting to redefine the word of God. Calling evil good and calling sin good, saying it's okay to live in a certain way. It's okay not to. And you see, our political system, our everything is built on many times on what we want in the flesh and what our world wants in the flesh. But God gives us stability and gives us his blessings when we recognize his word and live by it. It's an extreme acceptance of immorality. So by definition, a scoffer is someone who expresses derision, mocking, or scorn about something. If we profess to be children of God and we pronounce that things of the world are okay and we mock the word of God, we are doing exactly what David describes. We are sitting in the seat of the scoffer, speaking another language that should be that should be unfamiliar with the child of God. So what David says in this verse is one that we cannot participate in, desire, or long for the greener grass of the world. What the world has to offer us looks good and inviting, and there are many who would love to share their tears with you on the jukebox. The end is eternal death. Don't let the green grass fool you. It's a good word this morning for you. What we have is totally different. David says in verse 2 and 3, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law he meditates. The man and the woman, or the woman who God delights in, God's word, meditates on it day and night. The word meditate means to empty the mind of thoughts so that you are able to focus on something else. Empty your mind. Now, this is interesting. I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes my mind just goes to rolling and I just can't shut it off. And you, especially at night when I lay in bed. It's like, ooh. And the scripture says to take every thought captive. Now, what that means is that you analyze every thought that you're thinking. Is this a thought that is helping me? And to dwell on this thought, is this being a blessing to me? Is this being a curse? Is this healthy? Is it a good thought or is it not a good thought? And so when we take it captive, we either take it captive and we toss it out, or we take it captive and we put it into our heart. And sometimes we as Christians, we take thoughts that we should throw out and we leave them in our heart. And it's thoughts about people who have done us wrong. Anybody got any of them in your life? It's about people that's done you wrong. It's about issues within your family, within our family. It's things that just, it's challenging things. But we've got to, whatever things are good, whatever things are true, whatever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, is there virtue with it? Is there any praise? Is it praiseworthy? Think on these things. That's the word that God gave us. And this is the word that he's asking us to meditate day and night. Not to meditate on the negative things in our life. Not to meditate on the things that drag us down and make us sad and make us just like angry about things. But meditate on the things that edify and build up and find solutions to the problem through the word of God and not through the flesh. It's good work. It's challenging. So I just need to quit. So do you know what the most vibrant trees are? You know what the tallest trees, some of the tallest trees in the nation. Anybody ever go see the redwoods? Raise your hand if you've seen the redwoods. I'm just like, I mean, we haven't done that. That's on our bucket list. We need to do that because I just want to go see them. That's all. I just want to just check that off. But the reason that the redwoods are successful and can grow so tall is not because of the beauty that everybody appreciates. It's because of the root system that they have developed. And what it is, through the redwoods, they intertwine their roots with each other. And the roots don't go down, they go across, and they intertwine all of their roots with each other. And that's the way they're able to withstand the storms of life. And as they live and as they grow older, they get stronger because their roots grow into other trees. And because the other trees are there, they're all able to stand. What happens is when we don't have a strong root system, and the world is all about, it's all about how beautiful the tree is. But God's saying, hey, don't forget the root system. Let your roots be rooted in the Word of God, be rooted in the strength of God. Now, this isn't anything that's sexy or anything like this, and it's not even like popular, but I want you to know, if you want peace in your life, if you want to be blessed by God, think about the root system of the redwood trees, how they're intertwined with each other, how that we as a church can become and are, really, we are. I mean, all you had to do is show up for West Fest. We had 300 volunteers that worked their heads off. And I mean, we're all intertwined for one common reason, for one common goal, so God will get credit for everything that is in us, because when we don't make it about ourselves, God makes it about us. And we intertwine ourselves with each other in the Word of God, and we allow God to help us to grow. We allow God to bring the strength in us, and we let that sun shine in us, and we're strong people, and we don't fall to pieces together. I don't know if you've ever been in a church that kind of fell to pieces. They happen all the time. And if we're not careful, we could be one of those churches. But we're not going to fall to pieces, because we're intertwined with each other. And the strength of the Word of God is what's going to make us strong. And our contentment isn't going to come from the way we look on the outside. Our contentment is going to come from the godliness and what He is and who He is to us. The things that people don't see. You see, we're not blessed by faith when we actually see what God's accomplished. We're blessed by faith when we see what God hasn't done yet. Faith isn't faith if you can see it. That there's some things that we go through, some things you might be going through, some things we're going through right now. We can't see the outcome, and we don't know what all is going to happen, but we have to put our faith and our confidence in God and in the Word of God, and not fall to pieces, but stand up like a strong, redwood tree, and intertwine with each other, and then let the power that God has given us through our intertwining with one another and through His wisdom and Him sending the sun to allow us to grow. The sun, the S-O-N, y'all with me? This S-O-N to let us grow. And then we will not fall to pieces together with ulterior motives, but we'll be strong in the kingdom of God. And He'll say, I'm blessed. God will say, I'm blessed because you're a blessing to God, and then God will in turn bless you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thanks for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for your word, and help us, Lord, to understand the provision that you've made for us to be successful in our lives and to be successful in our marriages and in our businesses, in everything that we do, to be good moms and dads and grandparents. And help us, Lord, to walk in your light as you shed that light in our path. We thank you, Lord. We don't have to fall to pieces, but we can be strong in you, and we thank you for it. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the Scripture says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. But He also said this. He said, if we will confess our sin, that He would be faithful. He would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, if you've never done that before, if you've never asked Him into your heart, or maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for Him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. Anybody, preacher, that's me. I don't want to go through life. The Scripture says now is the accepted time. Today is the day. Now is the accepted time. Don't wait till tomorrow. We don't have any guarantees for tomorrow. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. Anybody? Slip your hand up high. I want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? It seems to me like it's a lot easier to go to people with my problems than it is to go to God with my problems. Y'all with me? I mean, it's like, can I just find somebody to talk to? I just need somebody to talk to. Well, and God put us there so we could help each other. But I'm going to tell you today, the one who you really need to go to is God with your problems. Because he has all the answers. So how many just be honest with me right now? You say, I have a tendency to run to people before I run to God, or I run to people more than I run to God, and I really need to have a course correction with this. Take it up to God. Take it to God first. Raise your hand. Preacher, I need some help with that, because I like to talk to people too much. Amen. Amen. I love y'all. So let's all raise both hands. Even if you didn't raise your hand, you can raise your hand, and I'll pray for you too, and it's all free anyway, so... Oh, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings today, oh God. We present ourselves just the way we are. We thank you, Lord, that you love everybody in this room, oh God. I pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you would speak into our hearts and help us to repent of looking over the fence at other people's yards, at other people's things, and looking at other people and be envious, oh God. But Lord, just help us to take ownership of what you've blessed us with, and to make our own yard green, and to take care of what you've blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here, oh God. Help us to grow and to prosper by reading your word and by being faithful to you and your word. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of the needs of your people in this church, or whether it's financial, physical, spiritual, emotional needs, whatever it is, oh God. Give us wisdom, we pray. May we not be influenced by the ways of the world, but help us to be influenced by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. We love y'all. Thank you so much for coming. Got a prayer team up here. If you need special prayer for anything, we invite you to come.